basics of unit testing with Spring. This presentation was prepared formerly for internal purposes of Norcom Technologies in Ireland by my old friend Pavel Letenský. We appreciate that authorities of the company allowed us to make the presentation public so you can benefit from it as well. I also thank Pavel for preparing this presentation and for providing support to me with finalizing material to be published. The training shows how to JUnit test J2EE application based on Spring and Hibernate. New unit test is created from scratch in Eclipse IDE, testing simple function for getting data from database. DB is created only in memory using HSQLDB. Training is targeted for developers with little or no experience with automated testing.
Guys, thank you for coming. This session we are going to speak about JUnit testing and Spring, which is supposed to help you during development. There is a nice Spring support for automated testing, especially for JUnit testing, which somebody of you may be aware of, somebody not so much, and this session should give you introduction in this support and how we can make most of it together with using Eclipse and other development tools. If you have any questions during the presentation, don't worry to ask me during the presentation once we speak about it, and there will be some more space at the end. So don't feel free to interrupt me. So first, what are the basic concepts so that we can use all of this? So we will use JUnit framework. I suppose that you are familiar with JUnit testing. Just shortly, JUnit enables us to easily prepare data for the test in setup method. Mostly we would like to prepare data in database or prepare any objects, instantiate them, which we need during the test. And there is teardown method, which we can or may not use to clean after the test. And there are test methods, which are beginning with test. And these are actually testing our business logic or our implementation, and JUnit automatically recognizes them in the test file and executes all of them. Eclipse has nice support for JUnit, so we can straight away run either one test method or all of them from Eclipse, as we will see later when we go through the practical example. And we have Spring framework, which you are familiar from the real development, and you are also familiar with context XML. This is sort of a repository of beans, which are objects of business logic or data access logic in general, any Java classes, instances, which we need for delivering the business logic. So this is the skeleton of that context, and now it's empty, so we have no beans. And important thing is that we can let Spring to auto-wire these beans. It means that nearly every object needs to collaborate with other objects. As far as you know, if we use autowire by name, it means if in one object is setter, and in the Spring context there is a bean with the same ID, this setter method will be called and these objects will be auto-wired, which is very suitable for automated testing because it is making it very easy. This is basically the concept that is called inversion of control. It means that for setting up collaborations between objects, we use the setter methods. So object doesn't need to worry how he will get instance of another object he wants to cooperate with. In Spring, he will just create setter method and private field, and the underlying logic of Spring will do the hard work. And from the point of unit testing, it makes it very easy to swap real objects for the stub objects, for example, because we will just pass our stub object to the setter method through the Spring context. And this is the main class that exists in Spring context for integration with JUnit testing. It has quite awkward name. It's abstract dependency injection Spring context tests. And what is this class doing? It enables us to have one definition of context specific for test, and it auto-wires the beans inside, and also it gives us access, gives the test, the JUnit test, access to any beans that we have defined there. So if we are testing some object, we will place it to the test context, and if we extend this class, we will get access and we can work with that business object and call the method we want to test. And this class actually in the background is extending JUnit test case, and no longer we are using setup teardown methods. If we extend this one, we need to use on setup and on teardown. These methods are made final. They are actually doing the handling of the test context, and therefore these two are provided for our preparing of data. So if we use this class, we don't override setup, but on setup, on teardown. So now a short list what we will achieve, why we want to use this automatic testing in Spring for Spring application. So normally the idea is, well, I can't write the test because I have a deadline. I wouldn't be able to deliver the test and the logic together. I'm just happy enough to deliver in time the actual implementation. This can be true, but I think in case of the Spring together with the JUnit test, this idea is not logical. We will actually be delivering implementation faster if we use it. And there are several reasons. We will limit the time, we will limit need to build or deploy application to JBoss, to WebLogic, because we will test our functionality using Eclipse. And if we make a change to the code, to the business object, DAO object, whatever, we have immediate response from system how it behaves. If we introduce error, exception is immediately thrown. So it takes approximately 10 seconds till we launch the test, when we see actual behavior of what we are programming. So we can do hundreds of change testing cycles, which was not possible when we needed to build the application and deploy it in order to manually click and see what happens. And second point I would like to make is that our feeling from development will be much better. We will gain some confidence in code which we are committing. Also, the QA of all application, the quality will increase, because as we will be progressing, our repository of tests will be getting bigger, and it means that whatever we delivered, we tested with the test, and it's actually unlikely that somebody later would break this functionality unconsciously, because tests would start failing and we would realize, okay, something is wrong, what is the change in subversion, and we can make some cure for this. So it's more about feeling. Well, this definitely is also important for managers, because they can say to the customer, well, are you happy? We have much less bugs in our code, in our application, and the customer feeling will be better as well. But this is important for developer. If I know that there is thousands of tests, existing tests, and I put there my piece of code with a new test, and all tests are still working, I'm happy to commit the code and have a happy sleep without any worries that what the hell, next morning what comes is not working. This is unlikely to happen with a big repository of tests. So let's look at the test context in a bit of detail. The concept we are using here in Norcom is that we have in-memory database, which enables us with every test create all the tables that we need for a test just in memory using HSQLDB, and feed there any data we need for the test, and then when the test finishes, memory is lost and there is no mess left. So this is the advantage of in-memory testing. There are also some disadvantages, and I will mention them later. So this way looks the bean we need to put in our test context. You may know it from the real application, where we would use Oracle, real databases, or DB2. In this case, we are using HSQL, which is capable of running only in memory. And you can notice that there is mem here, which means run in memory under the scheme. And we need to have, because we are using Hibernate, we need to put Hibernate session factory, which is important, because when we create the database in memory, we have no tables there yet. So there is a handy method in this local session factory bean. It's called create database scheme. So what it does, it creates all the tables using DDL statements for the data source it is providing. So data source used will be the HSQLDB data source. And now the question is, how the session factory knows what are the tables? So there is a property mapping locations, which means, which points to any HBM XML mapping files that should be included in this Hibernate instance. And this is the place where create database scheme looks. It collects all the mapping files from the class as, and for each particular mapping file, like account, case, it studies the mapping and is able to generate, auto-generate the DDL SQL statement for creating the table, which creates database ready for usage whatever other mapping files are. And now we are getting to the real example, which I think is the best way how to actually see it in action. So let's imagine that we have some requirement that we are supposed to create a new method which is called getDomainByNamePattern, and it should return domain if we pass some string that can be in the beginning, in the end, or in the middle of the domain name. And here is how we are supposed to work. So the idea is to first create failing tests. No matter that we haven't implemented yet any real logic, this is the best approach that is also described in XP methodology and XP development methodology. So let's try and see what we can do. So I will start my Eclipse. First thing I will do is create a test class, which will be extending abstract dependency blah blah class from the Spring framework. Good idea is to before creating such test is to look into existing tests, because they may speed up the way how we create our own test. There may be some ideas we can copy, or even the class we work on may already have a test, so we can just add a new test method to that class. There is an easy way how to create a new test case if we want to test a particular existing object. And it is opening that object, in our case it's domain DAO, and choosing from menu create new test case. The dialog for creating new test will be prefilled with reasonable values, which makes the process simpler. So I will go to domain DAO and make it active in my editor, and using shortcut Alt Shift N, like create new, I will choose JUnit test case. This is fine. Test will be named domain DAO test. We want also to create it in the same package where the testing class resides, but we are not happy with core dev source. We want it to be in separate. Normally we would put it into test sources, but I don't want to mess with existing tests, so I created test training. So you would choose test CRC. And that's pretty much it. We can be quite happy with the prefilled details. Maybe we want to generate setup method for us, which we can then... So I will click finish now. We have some time while Eclipse is choking. Yeah, at the moment we are extending the test case, which we will change later for the abstract dependency injection tests. So idea is first to make the test simple and then keep adding new stuff. There is a way how you can reuse parts of the test context. For example, we will see we can reuse this data source and Hibernate session definition, because it's very likely that it will be all the same for all tests, and we don't want to copy it over. Yeah, I have noticed that in core there is not yet a big use of this reusing. I have just created their base test context, which contains that data source and Hibernate session definition. So we will see how looks like the import statement in the test context file. So now this is the test we have. So we are going to create new test method. Eclipse has handy template for a new test. So if I type test and hit control space, I can choose new test method. And we want to test get domain by name pattern. Okay, so we will need domain DAO class. And I think it's a good idea to create data. So I will create a new domain in my setup so that I can do a query against it and actually test my method, which doesn't exist yet, which I don't care at this stage. So get domain, save domain, okay. Now I can easily use quick fix, create local variable domain, and I will choose for my domain some name, which will be test ABC domain. Okay. And now I want to domain DAO domain red equals domain DAO dot get domain by name pattern ABC. JUnit offers some methods for testing, like assert method, so I will use assert not null, which will fail if the parameter is null. So now I have a new test, which actually looks nice, but doesn't work at all yet. Even more, it doesn't compile. So if I wouldn't be trying this before, it would be causing a compile exception because the method doesn't exist yet. So this is the first step. So as you see here in our presentation, we have create new failing test, but it doesn't compile yet, but we don't care. We have the test. So next step, we want to make it compile. So again, the easiest way is to use Eclipse quick fix. So create method. Okay, the method is created. Maybe it's reasonable to change this to name pattern. Okay. And there would be another exception, compile exception, that our domain DAO impl doesn't implement the new method from interface. So again, I will use the quick fix and I will just add the method. There is no implementation yet because I didn't create it, but I don't care. So now I have the test. I have made it compile. So what is the next step? So achieve passing test, implement function. Okay, so fair enough. So first, let's try to run the test. What happens? What do you think? Anybody has idea what will happen? Exactly, throw exception. Which exception do you think? Okay, good point. Let's try it. The way how to run it, there are several ways. Either run it by right-clicking run as JUnit test. You can right-click the class on the left-hand side as well. Run as JUnit test. Or you can run tests for all projects by right-clicking the project folder. Okay, so now the test failed. What a surprise. Something's wrong. So, okay, we have domain DAO, but we haven't set it up in any way. So this is the time when we will use the upstart dependency injection blah blah class for actually auto-wiring whatever objects we need. So first thing I need to do is that I will create test context. So I will go for new XML file or just file, and I will call it test context XML. I have prepared here the skeleton for it so that I don't need to type it, so I will place it here, and I will also place here the domain DAO pointing to the real implementation, which is the domain DAO impl. Actually, it is the same way as it will exist in the real context in a real application. And what I will also do, I will make sure that I have the database ready. So I will copy here these two beans, which will make for me the database. This is not yet sufficient for me to get actually the pointer to get the real instance in my test. I'm still getting null pointer exception. Anybody has idea why is that? Excellent. Yeah, that's true, because I'm still extending the test case. So I will extend abstract dependency injection spring context. And now you see I cannot anymore extend setup because it's final in the class I extend. So I will just change it to on setup. It should be fine. And here I need to provide actually location for my test context. So I need to implement abstract class from this guy, which is getConfig locations. So I'm supposed to return a string array. It means I can actually import more than one test context and use them together. In my case, I have just one. So I need to provide the class path location for which I need to replace dots with slashes. Okay, replace all. / test context. Here we go. So let's try again. I think we will still get null pointer exception, and it's because we haven't provided any setter for the domain DAO. So Spring doesn't know about our dependency on this domain DAO class. So okay, we have something different. Okay, this is the reason. I forgot to change on setup as well, so I will completely remove that because there's no need to call the supper. It's just empty abstract class. So let's try it in. So we still have the null pointer action, but we know how to cure it. It just will provide setter. And because we are extending this class, not only the beans in the context are auto-wired, also the test itself is auto-wired. So we will go to generate setter for our private field. and we will try to run the test again. It means that if I have some object that I include in the XML file of the Spring context definition, it will be auto-wired with the others. But I haven't put my test class into the context. I'm just using it to run as a JUnit. But still, I can use reference to domain DAO, and I will get, thanks to my setter, I will get the instance from the context. Okay, so now we get a bit farther. The domain DAO is fine. We were able to save our test domain, but there is problem with identifier generator. This is used by domain DAO when creating new domain. It requires to provide data source so that it can generate ID. So I will cure this. You can actually check where is it failing. There is no connection which is obtained from data source. So if you use the base test context I have created in the core dev, you will not need to go through this step because there is some cure for this. But so that I will make this as simple as possible, I will do this. So I will need to call static method identifier generator dot set data source, and I will need to obtain, in the same way as I get the domain DAO, I will get data source, and again I need to provide setter. So in this way, before my test actually starts, I will get reference to data source, and on setup method I can use it. I've now used the wrong import. It should be actually Java data source. Okay, fair enough. So there is one more thing we need to set it actually before we attempt to create a domain. Let's try again. So finally, we got to unsupported operation exception, which was mentioned by Jenny. And this is where is a nice point where we actually should implement that method. I have already implemented that. So I will cheat a bit and I will get the implementation already. So it can be maybe here. Okay, so what I am doing some query from domain where name is like person sign means is a common sign for the like statement. So if it's not returned, I want to return null, otherwise I want to get the first domain found this way. Okay, so now I can run it and I will no longer have that unsupported operation exception. Okay, so the test is now fine and I know that my function is working. If I cripple this and, for example, remove these signs, which can be done by other person unconsciously or by some cheater as well. So my test will save me because the problem will be reported if I created the test right. So here we go. Here we thought that it should not be null, but it was actually null. So I will put this back. Always the test can be made. It's good when the test is actually checking not only one situation, but it's good to make the test a bit smarter. So for example, what I can do is create another test and check that actually this should be null. Assert null. And it's quite easy to extend the test this way if we already have all the infrastructure and if we already spent effort to it. The advantage is also that this step can be later when in 2 months we go back to the functionality because some bug was reported or because the functionality should be exchanged. We have already the test and it's very easy to slightly modify it, slightly add some new behavior or alter existing and get to the results very fast. This can be the case also when you are supposed to work on some function and there is already a test in core or wherever. So you can just add a new method which is extending the test in a way you are supposed to extend the functionality. Okay, and the test still works. So now when I'm committing, I can do just one more test in the real GUI just to make sure that everything works there too. But I avoided whatever number of steps I needed to make it perfect and make it work. So when we are fixing bug, any questions to this example? So when we are fixing bug, it's nearly the same stuff, same approach. First we want to create failing test that will reproduce the bug. And we intentionally are trying to have the failing test because if we can't make it, it means that it works for us and we can't reproduce the bug at all. So we can't even fix it. How we could possibly fix the bug if we can't reproduce it? Then we fix the bug and then we commit. And because we will create for this bug fixing a new test, it's unlikely that it will be reintroduced in some new next release by mistake, because we will already have test bug 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which will be succeeding, passing at the moment we commit, and later when it's broken it will start failing. So here are some hints what is good to do to make most of it and make the life easier. Test first approach. Some people use the test automated tests, but they first implement the function and then actually if it's working they write tests to secure it. This is fine, but you can't use then these nice quick fixes in Eclipse, which actually make a lot of code, write a lot of code for yourself from nothing actually, just from the method names. Learn from or extend existing tests. If there is already a test, it's much easier to either slightly change it, add a new method, or learn from it how to make your own. Import based test context. This is what Maria asked about. We have at the moment based test context in core, which have data source, which has session factory, and here you can notice actually that it is solving that issue with identifier generator. This statement, this bean, is actually some Spring tool which enables to execute static method. So this way we are saying when the test context is loaded, execute method of identifier generator, set call setter and pass data source as argument. This is what we achieved by hand calling this method. So you can avoid this. Use stubs where appropriate. Stub is some fake object which behaves, which have the same interface as a real object, but you can make it just for test, for example, to return true or false or return some fixed string. It can be handy, for example, if you are testing some business logic and inside the business method is a check for permission towards, let's say, permission DAO object. Either you can, in your database, prepare all that is needed, create some permission, link it together, and then your test will actually be able to go through this permission check. Or you can put fake permission DAO object, the stub object, into your test context, which returns always true, and you don't need to worry about the permission, because possibly there is another unit test testing permissions and you don't need to, and you don't want to test permission because you want to test your facade or your business logic. Use unsupported operation exception. You can change your Eclipse settings so that when he's generating new method using quick fix, he puts there throw new unsupported operation exception statement. It means that you will never then forget to implement it, and your test will be failing at the proper spot before you implement it. What are the common testing issues? Sometimes you will get unknown entity class, blah blah. This is caused that your mapping file is not present in your Eclipse runtime class path, which in most of the reasons is that you get the project from Subversion, but you haven't yet built it. When you build it, the files will be, mapping files will be generated in the Hibernate scheme folder, which you need to put to your, between your project sources so that it's actually used when you run the test. There can be another common exception, which is duplicate import. This is sort of hand in the hand with the first one, but the opposite way. It means that the mapping file is twice in class path, which can happen that you have it in your folder, in your Hibernate scheme folder, but you are linking some jar file in which you have the mapping file already packed. So in this case, check for the linked jar files for the libraries, whether you have some of them which would contain the mapping file for the second time. This one is nasty exception, and it is related to using in-memory database, specifically using HSQLDB, because the way Hibernate is executing operations in a batch, HSQLDB is failing to provide proper exception when statements are executed in batch. So you will see something as useless as this. For example, if you try to insert second row that would break primary constraint, or if you try to insert row where you would break not null constraint. But it will not tell you which is the constraint or even that it is a constraint. So you can fix this or realize which constraint it is if you, in your test context, if you swap the HSQLDB definition for Oracle XE, which is running on your machine, you can create a test scheme. And if you point the source to this database, Oracle is much better in reporting such SQL constraint exception, so you will actually then see in the exception trace that constraint was violated and that the name of the constraint, and you can then use whatever tools you have for accessing database to see, based on the name of the constraint, which data are problematic. Thank you, and enjoy your automated testing.
This presentation is published under Creative Commons license. For any comments or questions, please visit blog.novoy.net or contact Arthur at mail@jetensky.net.
Was track number 10 from the album Night of the Black Wyvern by Utopia Banished from Magnatune.com.